paddling out on the coldest day of the year, just a discovery of a hole in the crotch of your warmest wetsuit. The secrets of frozen butthole shredding, today on the Surfing Podcast. Hello and welcome to the Surfing Podcast. My name is Dan Bylak. I'm a mediocre surfer at best, but I am still the host of the Surfing Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Off the topic, I got a bunch of nice messages after the last episode we did, where we talked about all kinds of stuff, but also talked about surfing and depression. And some of you guys had sent me, and ladies, men and women alike, and other people, however you designate yourself, sent in messages on either email or Instagram messages. Nothing on Twitter or MySpace, thank God. But saying, "Hey Dan, you're too hard on yourself. Don't have negative self talk. You're too hard on yourself." I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. Please understand that most of the stuff I say in the show is me being self deprecating because it's funny, because I'd rather listen to a show where a guy thinks he's an idiot and shares with you all the idiotic things he does than a show where a guy thinks he is rad and tells you how rad he is. There are a million podcasts like that, and I don't want to fucking be one of those. So. You guys are very kind of very. I assure you, I do talk bad about how I surf, and I do the best I can do, but I don't really care. I like surfing. I'm not trying to do it for a paycheck or a hand job. So I describe all the mistakes I make in and out of the water as it relates to surfing to you folks, so you hopefully can use my knowledge or lack thereof to avoid making the same mistakes. Honestly, so I appreciate it. And then Niels over at the surf school in Portugal sent me a message about last episode on Instagram, saying that he did not think the O'Neill Hyper Freak suits, especially the 4.3s, were that great because he's had two and they fall apart. I've had three now, and they've all lasted at least two seasons. But Niels, in your defense and in my defense, you run a surf school. So I feel like all I see is you surf every day, all day, multiple times a day, usually, and do like wakeboarding and that crazy kite stuff. And like, so I think that you are putting more stress on these wetsuits than they were designed to. I think if you're a fat blobby kook like me, these wetsuits should last you a season or two. But yeah, if you're doing like high performance shit like Niels, maybe it isn't enough for you. Also, since I gave him a shout out, and he's been a fan of the show since way back when, make sure to follow him at Surf Guide Algarve. It's a Surf Guide and then Algarve. And if you go to Portugal, hit him up. He runs a cool surf school where he takes you basic, not school, but like surfing guide business, where he'll take you and a friend or, you know, a group through Portugal and drive you guys around and take you to like uncrowded surf spots and, you know, give you pointers and stuff if you don't know what the fuck you're doing. So he handles from beginners to like pros. He'll take anybody. Yeah, a little free plug. But yeah, I Hyper Freak's a good suit. I wore mine. I have the O'Neill Hyper Freak 4.3 Plus. I wore it yesterday morning. The water was like 57 here, and it was too warm. I was too warm. Well, I mean, I'm probably fatter than I should be too right now, but still, I'm bordering on fat. I'm like the fucking, what's the guy in Guardians of the Galaxy 2? I'm like Peter Quill. I'm like one sandwich away from fat, but still, I'm kind of lithe and sprightly for a middle-aged fucking doughy white dude. Anyway, I like the Hyper Freak. I think for $300, I was in the water talking to my friend Marty, who works over at Jack Surfboards here in Huntington, and he's like runs the surfboard and wetsuit room there. He's like one of the managers. He recommends it to him. He wears those suits, and he gets free suits from whenever the hell he wants and gets all the inside stuff. He's been wearing those suits for like two or three seasons. And then two other guys that were out were also wearing those suits, and we're like, they're so good, right? Because like the O'Neill Psycho or whatever is like $500 or whatever, and those and they're not any warmer or any better than, in my opinion, than the Hyper Freak. I think the Hyper Freak, the 3.2, but especially the 4.3 is the best value. I will say I had a 2.2. Now that I think of it, a short arm Hyper Freak 2.2 with that the Techno Butter, the first year Techno Butter came out, and that wetsuit fell apart in the summer. I wore it all summer, but I think 2.2 is almost too thin for that. That Techno Butter neoprene has like air bubbles injected into it. That's why it's so light. I think 2.2 is a little bit too skinny. It pulls apart too much. And I literally, the chest pulled apart on it one day, like at the end of like, you know, in the fall. I'd worn it for like 4 or 5 months, like at least, you know, 5 or 6 times a week. But, and in the sun too. In the winter, I think in the summertime, you're leaving your wetsuit out in the sun to dry, and I think that breaks it down too. But I will say, yeah, the 2.2, I don't recommend, but the 4.3, that in the 4.3 Plus, it highly recommend. Also, I was talking to Marty, who works at Jack's here in Orange County. in Huntington, and he said that suit is sold out at their stores, and he doesn't know when they're going to get more. So if you can find one online, grab one, because they're selling out, and it apparently with the soft goods, I think you'd call it, it's weird. Wetsuits, like soft goods, hard goods for retail for surfing. Like hard goods are like, I guess they're hard goods because it's more like stuff you use to do the sport, like a surfboard or a fin. You know, you need a wetsuit to surf basically when it's cold. But anyway, soft goods, hard goods. The surf companies did not, have a great year last year for soft goods, so they didn't order as many wetsuits apparently for this year as they might have, should have, or I don't know. That was Marty. That was what we were talking about in the water anyway. Marty Steer, he works in retail and he knows that shit. But so it seems like that suits in short supply, and they probably made a ton of their most expensive wetsuits, so you'd have to buy those, which. They should. They're a business. But yeah, I highly recommend the O'Neill Hyperfreak 4.3 if you live somewhere that, the water gets like 55 to 60, 55 to 59, which is southern, anywhere Santa Barbara south, basically. It's a great wetsuit. Up north, I don't know, probably wear a 5.3 or something like that. Or you're strong. You're just wearing like a spring suit, a beaver tail. Just the hair from your chest, man or woman, locks the heat inside against your frame. I don't know. Do your life. What else? We're going to do, I'm sorry, that's a bit of a ramble. But top of the show, I usually tell what's going to happen. We're going to talk about three parts in this episode. I'm going to talk about a surf trip I took last week over the Thanksgiving break. One about just surfing it, two about the board I rode, three about some other stuff. And then we'll have a surf tip, and then we'll have a second surf tip. And then I will discuss a couple of the current two most recent iTunes reviews the show has received. Not to be like complaining. I think they're both very funny, but I think they're funny because and I'll explain it at the end of the show, and you should get a kick out of it. Also, if you have a question you want answered on the show, I'm going to start doing that and giving mailbag shout outs because we're actually getting a lot of listeners, and a lot, I mean, like, several to several many a week. But yeah, it's cool. Like Jeff Markovics, who's been a long time listener of the show and supports us on Patreon, he just had a baby. So congratulations, dude. It's the most tiring and the most awesome thing you can do with your genitals or life. So enjoy that. And then I got a question from a new listener, I think, that I will answer in the show as one of the surf tips. And then Zach Garrett, congratulations. You sent a message guessing the spot. I posted a picture on Instagram and you were correct. I didn't surf that exact spot, but I surfed like down the beach from it, and it was super duper fun. All right, guys and girls and ladies and folks and all kinds of people in the world, let's do this. This week we're going to talk about the surf trip that I took last week. I went for a week, and I'm not going to do any political stuff because people, I don't want to move anywhere else. I just don't want to live in America right now. I don't want to flee to Canada or Europe or Australia because everywhere's fucked up. But I just don't want to be around people. I wish I could just be in a bubble. Not like a bubble, like you're in an echo chamber, bro. I don't mean like that. Not an MSNBC or Fox News bubble. I mean just a fucking actual like hamster bubble that was just like I didn't have to fucking talk to anybody, and I just like rolled it down to the beach and it plopped me out and I surfed and then I hop back in and I roll back home and I can't and the internet doesn't work in it and I'm not doing anything. I'm just fucking living my own goddamn life. I'm not the best thing. I mean, that's not feasible, but it's just everything is so fucked up. I live in Huntington Beach, as I always say, beautiful Huntington Beach, the place where if you want to shred waves that aren't very good, but also there are a lot of people in your way, come here. Come move here, live here, love it. Just roll around in it, frolic in it, absorb it. God, it's a shit. The waves are shitty here. No, it's okay. But we're also in Southern California, in Orange County, and for some reason, and I know the reason why, Orange County in the last 6 months, in the last year, all the political shit has been like a hotbed of like political controversy. We had the big, when the BLM marches happened, we almost had a couple, and then we had counter marches by Trump people, and that died down. But now the Trump people, the BLM people have gone off to live their lives and, figure out, how to get justice a different way, or maybe they're waiting to when some more bad shit happens. Let's hope it doesn't. But the Trump protester people are fucking still here in Orange County, especially in Huntington Beach on the weekends. They've teamed up. The QAnon people are now here as well. There's QAnon fucking rallies down in PCH and Main Street in Huntington Beach on the weekends. And there's also fucking anti-masker fucking rallies. People that are against masks and think it's like, saw a guy yesterday on a bike with he had, of course, red, white, and blue flag surf trunks, which is a desecration of the flag, by the way. You shouldn't make a thing where your dick touches the flag or butthole. And he's riding that, and he had like a fucking really shitty looking like red, like USA hat on, and then a shirt that said legalize freedom. Like, go fuck yourself with every goddamn dildo in the fucking dildo store, you idiot. my point is, I don't care what you do politically. I don't care who the fuck you are. But, like, if you're fucking stupid, I am mad that we had to be, like, all, you know, I think the, you know, we're liberal people got very woke and sensitive, and they don't want to make fun of other, you know, other people for, like, disabilities or orientation or whatever. And then the fucking more conservative people were like, fuck your feelings, man. I don't give a fuck. And then the liberal people just kind of, like, said, well, we're not going to be like that. I wish there was a medium point where you could still, like, respect everybody's choice, whether they want, you know, religion or sexuality or whatever the fuck their deal is, but also could tell people that are fucking assholes to fuck off. I miss that so much. I mean, what I think we got to this point is a planet, and is at least in Western society, because we spent so much time the last 20 or 30 years trying to be nice, and we should be nice. We should all be fucking nice, but we don't call bullshit anything anymore. All this fucking, you know, OAN and fucking Newsmax and all this crazy, like, the president still won't concede the fucking election he lost, because no one's like, no, this is just fucking bullshit. You can't say something's real and it's not real unless you can unprove it. That's not how fucking proof works. Fuck you. And we don't tell these people to fuck off anymore. We should just tell these people to fuck off, because I don't mean that. I mean it because I live in Huntington. And when I ride my bike down, especially on the weekends, I ride my bike because in the weekends I don't drive down to the beach. I have a parking pass, but I don't drive down to the beach because there's nowhere to park. It's a pain in the ass to get in and out of the lot, find a lot. There's a bunch of yahoos all over. You're going to run some assholes over from Iowa and fucking rash guards in December, you know, and they're freezing. So I ride my bike down to the beach and I park it. But, like, the rallies on, you know, I just surf the pier, which is like Main Street and Huntington Beach dead ends at PCH, and it dead ends directly into the pier. So the epicenter, the corner of Moron and Retard, Main Street and PCH, is where they have all these fucking rallies. So last weekend, the weekend before, or 2 weekends ago, I guess, the weekend before Thanksgiving, I ride my bike down on a Friday evening. Friday evening there was some bullshit going on, but Saturday morning, like 9 o'clock, I rode down, and Saturday was just like a full blown fucking, like, rally. These assholes are out there with, like, 8 foot Trump flags, 10 foot Trump flags, waving them, putting them in the back of fucking trucks, driving them up around, burning out and shit, like, all over the PCH and Main Street. And not to be fucking Nancy fucking Drew over here, but I'm pretty sure having a fucking 6 or 8 foot double 8 foot flags hanging off your fucking motor vehicle is illegal. So fuck the cops. And I don't mean that, like, fuck all cops. Cops are doing their job. But in this respect, fuck the cops that aren't giving these assholes tickets or flaming, hanging fucking shit off their car. Because it's going to cause a fucking accident, and it's bullshit. Like, I'm not driving around with a fucking, you know, like, Joe Biden jerked me off in a fucking dream and I came so much that I drowned in a swimming pool of jizz. Like, I'm not doing that as a bleeding heart fucking pussy liberal. You know, I'm not, like, putting shit, like, just fucking wear your shirt or put a sticker on it. But you don't need to hang a fucking, you know, tarp off your car. So I was riding across the street on my bike on Saturday. This is the weekend before Thanksgiving. And I was riding across PCH at 6th Street coming down the hill to park my bike. And I couldn't get across the street because two fucking, like, 30-year-old dudes in tank tops with, like, roided out, like, you know, biceps were waving, like, 8-foot Trump flags in the way. I said, like, ride around him. And as I rode past, I'm like, I'm glad he lost. He sucks. And then the guy was like, fuck you, pedophile. And he is bigger, much bigger, and younger than me. Probably could fight, too, because he's dumb. I stopped my bike in the middle of the street, and I just looked at him right in the eye. I'm like, dude, that's not a fucking comeback. Like, that has nothing to do with what I said to you, and that has nothing to do with what you're doing. He's like, well, you call us racists, so we call you pedophiles. And I'm like, and again, I was like, dude, that's not even how burns work. Grow the fuck up. Go home and grow up and go home. And I rode off. The guy's like, whatever, dude, fucking Trump 2020. Like, and I was just like, I rarely ever engage these people. But literally trying to get just across the street, I was impeded by two fucking idiots. That's why I talk about this on the show. It actually affects me surfing because I've got to, like, dodge fucking morons to go surfing. And then, you know, a third to half of the idiots that surf Huntington are probably wishing they were on the beach in a fucking, you know, eagle beating off into a fucking Bible, Trump t-shirt, sweatsuit, fucking hat, you know, on top of a truck. They'd like to be at the rally fucking, you know, breathing in retarded freedom. So that's why I mentioned it. But anyway, that's what Huntington has been like every weekend for, like, the past since the election. And it's fucking annoying because that's, like, 2 days out of the fucking week that it's just, you're reminded how stupid a huge, you know, a swath of the, and they always, I'm sure there's always been that many stupid people. There's just more people on earth now, and they're just, like, in the last 4 years they've been encouraged, like, hey man, if you're fucking dumb as shit, let your freak flag fly, you know. And Jesus fucking Christ. Like honestly, like, again, coming from like a bleeding heart, fucking pussy liberal, whatever, I don't push my fucking shit on people. I don't like, oh man, abortion should be legal and we should take care of the homeless. You know, I don't fucking argue with people at parties or barbecues and shit. I just, near the water. I keep my shit tucked in. I fucking hang out with my kid and my wife. I vote the way I vote and I try and do the best I could do personally, but I'm not out there fucking impeding traffic and being a fuckwit with it. Anyway. That's been going on. So I, that being said, with the we're having a surge in Southern California and everywhere in the country. Like, we have all the USA is number one, motherfuckers, because we have all the COVID there can be. We've obtained, apparently. So they were saying don't have Thanksgiving, and then there were like Republican legislators like posting pictures of turkeys on Instagram saying come and take it, like Molon Labe, like come and take our guns, like, which is a thing about stolen from the movie 300, which is stolen from the incident that happened with Sparta, you know, like come and take our weapons. And that ended with them, all those fucking dipshits dying, by the way. And also, Sparta was a fucking slave state with a less than 10% literacy rate. So it was a bunch of illiterate fucking slave owners in Sparta. So I don't care how many fucking diaper swords and spears they fought with or how good they were at killing people. They were a bunch of dumb shit retards, and there's not even any fucking literature that exists from Sparta anymore because they didn't fucking write anything of worth because they were fucking basically one rung above cavemen. Sorry. But go do that Spartan race for charity, I guess. Run through Tough Mudder or whatever the fuck it is. Anyway, these people are doing this, chanting around my city. It's annoying. And again, be whatever the fuck you want. It's fine. But it's annoying to have these people around and breathing all their fucking bullshit. So the week before Thanksgiving, the people that had a brain were like, hey, don't have Thanksgiving with your family. You're going to kill your grandma. And it's just like not a good way. Like, no, COVID doesn't kill everybody. It doesn't kill like 99% of people live. But like the ones that it does kill, it sucks for them. And you don't want your fucking your grandma or your fat aunt to die. I'm sorry. It's a shitty thing to say. But like you don't, dude. Like, and that's who we're talking about. Grandma, your fat aunt, your fucking neighbor who doesn't take care of themselves or has a health problem. It's fucking not their fucking fault. And I have a friend who's like, you're fat, this is their fault. I'm like, dude, people are fat for a lot of fucking reasons. People are morbidly obese for even more, and a lot of them are medical, and even if it's just like psychological or whatever, fuck, don't tell people how to, you know. If these people are jacking off their freedom to so much, they should empathize with people that like their freedom to get fat is now making them get, you know, be more of a target for dying from fucking COVID. You know, but you can also have fucking asthma, and it can affect you really bad too, and no one's fucking picking asthma on the wheel of fucking things I get to be born with. Anyway. I'm trying to get to the serving part of this thing, guys. I'm so fucking pissed off. I fucking hate living in. I like living in Huntington. I'm from here. I grew up here. I moved away. I came back. I appreciate it more because, like, they have, you know, you can park. There's good parking. Not a lot of traffic. It's a good place to raise a kid if if you don't have to listen to other people talk. But the week before Thanksgiving, my wife and I were like, we decided like a couple months ago to make reservations, but then we actually did it. We went camping. We took the RV, and me, my wife, and my son went camping for a fucking week from, like, that Saturday that Sunday morning to the following Sunday. We left for a week, and we went up north and camped in, like, in Santa Barbara at two different camp spots, one kind of towards the coast, like in, like, El Capitan area, and then one more, like, inland in the mountains, and my kid got to ride a horse and shit like that. And the second place we went to for 3 or 4 days had no phone or internet, so we had no phone or internet, which was cool, but I didn't bring any fucking books because all the shit that I was going to read or listen to, I was going to listen to on my iPad or my phone, and I couldn't, which is a fucking bummer. But coming back to the surfing podcast portion of the show, I got to surf a fucking ton. I got to serve a bunch. I got to serve a bunch of places in and around Santa Barbara and just south of Santa Barbara, like butting up right next to it is Ventura County. Ventura is where the famous right-hand Point Break Rincon is, the queen of the coast, as it's been called in, I don't know, probably Surfing Magazine or something back in 1980. But yeah, the first few days of last week were a little bit flat. It was like 1 to 2, you know, it was like little piddly, you know, beach break junk. But then the rest of the week, like from Wednesday to Saturday, there was waves. It was like one day it was like 3 to 4, one day it was like 3 to 5, 3 to 5, and then 3 to 4, and then it dropped off. But I surfed a bunch. I surfed like 2 or 3 sessions a day up there. A couple of days I went and took the car and went by myself. We were staying like a half hour from where the ocean, like 20 minutes from the beach, and then like another 15 or 20 from like the spots I went and surfed down in Ventura. And but it was, you know, it's like it's shorter than driving to Lowers, and I surfed a bunch of places that were fucking like just really good. I did not surf Rincon because it was crowded. It was like a, you know, holiday week and then holiday weekend. On Thanksgiving, the waves were probably the best in the morning at Rincon. The swell was at the biggest, I think, but it was like both parking lots are full. It was full all the way underneath the overpass at the parking on down the street both ways. And there were carloads of dudes getting dropped off by their girlfriends and other dudes and whatnot. Like, I drove through the main parking lot. I'm like, fuck this. And we went and drove somewhere else. And I surfed other places that were so fucking fun. No, I didn't surf anywhere really famous or like the world's best waves, but I got one place. The waves are breaking way, like, it's a place that only gets good once in a while, and this, whatever the swell was actually the place, the kind of swell that it had. So I got one full day, morning to night, at surfing, like, at a, like, this sand kind of rock point that you'd never even know that if I said the name, you wouldn't even know what the fuck it was, because I'd never heard of it. I just was like, hey, is it a place to surf? And then it fucking was. And it was fucking great. I brought two new boards that I had, a regular shortboard and then a fish. And I just went, it was just crazy. It was so fun. A couple of places I surfed were really kelpy. So I surfed, most of the time I surfed without a leash on my shortboard and on my fish, which was super fun. I did not lose my board once. Although on a couple closeouts backside, I kind of kicked out and or straightened out instead of hitting like the last section, because that's where it is going to lose my board into like some rocks. Yeah, it was fucking great. Water was warm. Like, the water was like 58, 59. It was actually colder here in Huntington than it was up north. And, dude, saw a shark. That was fucking great. One of the places I was surfing, like, the first day I surfed, Tuesday or Wednesday, it's like 10 guys out. We're sitting there, and, like, dude, like, just, like, 40, 50 feet past the surf line. Look, the swells were coming in for the, like, jack up. There was a bunch of kelp, and then there was a fucking, like, it was bigger than 6 foot. And, you know, less than 10. It's probably like a 7.5, 8 foot shark, but it was a fucking, you could see the fucking complete, like, silhouette. Its fin, like, the fin was like 6 inches, like, out of the water. Like, it was a fucking, it was a decent size, you know, probably still a juvenile, but, like, it's like an 8 foot shark. And it was definitely a fucking, it, like, the shape of a fucking great white, as far as from all the fucking videos that I've watched in my whole life and seen, you know, fish in the ocean. It was really funny. Nobody said shit. 10 guys, we were all kind of sitting spaced out. The group of people kind of went whoop and, like, sucked together, and everybody was sitting a lot closer for, like, the next 10 or 15 minutes. And then like, because at first I was like, oh, let it be a dolphin. And then you could tell everybody was on dolphin watch, because when dolphins swim by on the outside, they usually, if they're going from left to right, you look, you know, 20 to 50 yards down the beach, because they go under and come up and go under and come up. This thing that never surfaced again, it was a fucking shark for sure. But yeah, like 15 minutes later, everybody kind of forgot, and then after a couple sets came in the wave, and the waves were really fun. People were like, ah, fuck it, you know, we just surfed. But I feel there's like several tiers of shark sightings and or activities when you surf. Like, tier one is like when you're surfing somewhere spooky and you can feel that there's sharks, and you may or may not stay out depending on how good the waves are, but you feel like, even like halfway through a session, you're like, this feels weird, especially up in Northern California. I've talked to guys that lived up there, but I've had it happen before up north, where you just get a vibe and you're like, this is not good. And if the waves are really good, you fucking kind of just squish it down and surf. But if the waves are mediocre, it will turn a, you know, what you were planning to have like a 2 hour session into like a 48.5 minute session pretty quick. The waves are mediocre. Then there's the one where you like see something outside and you're pretty sure it's a shark, but you're not sure, you know, whatever, and you're hoping it's not, especially if the waves are good. Then there's the one like where you see, like what iPad, where you see and know it's a shark, and then you kind of do the math where you're like, eh, it's not big enough. If it bites me, I'll bleed to death, but it's not going to like swallow me whole like some giant shark, you know, 20 foot shark in Australia. And then there's a level of like where a shark either is like super fucking close to you, or fucking, you know, or you see a shark that's big enough where everybody's like, nope, and everyone just sprints the fuck in as quickly as they can. I rarely had that happen in my life, to be honest. I don't think I've never been out with that big of a shark. I've seen sharks and had that somebody spot a shark before. I've had someone spot a big shark like down in San Diego, somewhere around Encinitas. Sometimes someone saw a big fucking shark and we all went in, but I didn't see it. And then one time, dude, this is all random. One time in like the late 90s, I was surfing Velzyland in Hawaii on the North Shore at like dusk, and it was like right after the sun had gone down. It was getting dark out, and a fucking I swear to God. You felt like fucking, you feel like sand sharks and the skates and rays. Like, you feel shark skin when you go to like an aquarium when you're a little kid or even you're older. I ran my hand down the side of a fucking fish that there's no way it wasn't a fucking shark in the inside channel part of Velzyland. Like, it's like only like probably 4 feet of water. And I swear I was paddling, and like my left arm, like the outside of my arm, my hand, ran down a beast that like felt like the size, like our Labrador is like 60 pounds right now. She's a fucking pup. She's 5 months old. She's 60 pounds. Insane. But like a small to full size Labrador sized torso, you know, like I ran my arm down 3 foot the side of something and it like swished and like is like a big explosion and swam away. And I was like, that was like actually petting a shark when I surfed. So fucking, it's horrifying. But also it's dark, so I had an excuse to like take a whitewash in and not try and stay out and get one more wave. But that was really dope. So that was cool. Part two of the surfing surf trip to up north. Or I mean, not really up north. It's barely. It's not even. It's below Point Conception, Santa Barbara. So it's not even up north. It's like northern Southern California. Part two of the surf trip. I got two new boards before I left. My buddy Tim Stamps, who is one of the best surfboard shapers in Southern California, if not, he's probably world. I mean, he ships for people on the tour and stuff. He's very well world class shaper. I had ordered a bunch of boards during COVID, and then he got backed up and had stuff going on, and then I got one of the boards, a gravel board, because I needed that sooner because waves were kind of crappy in the summer. And then I had a short board and a fish, and I just told him like, dude, you're busy, make them whenever you can. And I got him a couple weeks ago, before we left. A few weeks ago, I guess, like a week before we left. Shortboard is like a 6'2". It's killer. It's like the standard dimensions I ride. A little bit like a half a liter to three quarters of a liter, like more foam in the middle. So it just paddles a little bit better, especially the full suits in the winter. And the COVID fatness that I still have going, although I'm trying to work it off by walking my dog and riding my bike everywhere. And then I got it. I haven't had a fish in a million years. I was never really a big fan of fishes, but I was like, I know Tim Stamps shapes really good fish boards. He grew up shaping under Harbor Surfboards in Seal Beach, and Harbor's like a master of like the longboard and every kind of board there ever was. And Tim's like a super duper craftsman, and he likes riding those kind of fucking boards, so he's good at shaping them. I got a fish, and this is part two of the surf trip. It's the funnest board I've ever ridden. I had to force myself yesterday to stop riding. I brought it home, and I've been riding it at Huntington in like decent, like head high waves. And I had to go back to my, shortboard because it makes you lazy. Like last episode, the surf tip when I talked about don't pump, you're pumping too much, you want to go faster. If you feel like you're pumping too much and you want to get rid of that shit, get a fish. Borrow a fish or rent one or find one or whatever. It's just a short, wide, twin fin. I cheated. I got a 5'8". It's like 21 and a half inches wide. It's like 37 liters or something like that. But it's a quad. So it's got a quad setup. So I ride it with two normal like AM2s because I'm a bigger person. Like Almerics in the front and then just the back, the 4.15, just standard futures quads in the back. I have a pair of the Seaworthies. I haven't even fucking used them because honestly, I just rode it with a normal setup the first time. The board's so fucking fast. It is like you don't have to pump. 1 foot wave, 4 foot wave, whatever. You just take off, bottom turn, and once you point it down the line, the board just goes. Like when I was surfing, I surfed that Sand Point up north on vacation. I surfed it a couple days, but the first day I surfed it was kind of tentative because it was a little bit crowded. There's some locals, so I was like, I wasn't trying to hassle for waves. And I'd have guys that would burn me down the line, like drop in on me because they didn't know me or whatever, maybe because I was terrible, and I would pass them. All I'd have to do is like go up high and set my rail and not pump at all. And I would like, they'd be in a short board, like trying to work the wave as hard as they could. And I would just shoot past them and be onto the next section and be gone. Like I can't describe, like it's so much fun. It's a modern fish, like especially the quad, like you can do turns, you can hit the lip, you can do carves, you can do cutbacks, you can do all the normal shit you could normally do, especially if you're like an intermediate best surfer like me. Like you can do all the shit you can do. It's a little bit slower. You're not like hitting the lip like 10 times in a wave, but you can hit the lip like two or three times in a wave and go really fucking fast without pumping and do like ungodly floaters. Like floaters that like, especially like closeout sections, like the fuck, you just ride on top of them forever. Like so long where you get weirded out. Like you're like, this is too long for a floater. And you're like gaining speed off of it. And like whitewash floaters, same thing. You can trim along the whitewash, which with me, because I'm so tall and fat and gangly and I ride kind of thin boards. Whitewash floaters for me, especially when I do them too late and I've lost speed, are like a real struggle for me. I always bog down, but you can just take your time, just like fucking go parallel to the whitewash and just like surf off it like a curb. See, it feels like a skateboard. It feels like riding that fish. It feels like a skateboard that doesn't slide out. So if you want to work on not pumping and not being such a spaz, I highly recommend, longboarding, of course, is great for working out your style and just, learning to take your time and to like, kind of commune with the board and react to what's going on versus trying to impose your own acrobatics on it, like Chandler would say from the movie North Shore. But yeah, if you want to ride a shortboard, you do not have to pump on. Yeah, I have a gravel board that's like, shorter, fatter, wider that I talked about a few episodes back that I love. But the fish is a whole different level. And the other thing is like, it's a fun board. It's so to ride in anything, small waves. I rode it like one of the days. It was like there are a couple of head high, a little bit overhead sets, and you can't take off too late in those boards because there's not enough board to purl. Like you can take off super late, you'll get to your feet. You get like a burst of speed going down the face because the boards are so wide and especially the quad setup that you might fall because of user error, but you're not going to fall because you dug nose. Like you can hit sections. Like yesterday morning, I went over to south side because the north side is crowded, and I was like, the waves are kind of walled on the rights, but I was going right and hitting sections normally. I'd be like, oh, it's way too late. I'm going to get like slammed. You hit them because when you come back down off the explosion, there's nothing to catch. There's no nose, and it's so wide that you're super and thick. You're super buoyant. You just float over everything. It's so fucking fun. And I've had fish boards in the past, a long time ago when I was younger, and I never really liked them. And I rode them like borrowed of friends or something for a day or for like half a session because they had one at the beach. But like, I don't know, dude. You have to force yourself not to ride it because it feels like fucking cheating. Everyone I talk to that I know that like rides other fishes, like they're like, I'm like, the best way to describe it is like, they're like, I know, right? It feels like you're cheating on surfing, riding a fish. It's especially like the more contemporary one. If you get one off someone that actually knows how to shape a good fish, like, goddamn, it is the shit. So that's that. That's part two. Part three of the thing I wanted to talk about here. This is part three is a surf trip. Surf trip part of my trip to northern Southern California is a surf tip. Here's a surf tip. How to surf a new surf spot. If you haven't surfed somewhere and you're surfing, like you're on a trip, on vacation, if you go down south or up north or out west or wherever the hell you live to go to a new spot, here are some tips on how to surf a new surf spot. And it's you'll understand how in a minute. One is like paddling out. Watch the waves before you paddle out. Like if you're going to go surf somewhere, especially where there's rocks or shit like that, just go watch for like at least 20 minutes and just see where the sets are and where rocks are and look for guys or where they're catching waves, where they're kicking out of waves, where they're paddling back out, where they're not paddling back out. Like if there's a peak and it's a better right, but there is a left, but no one's going left, there's a reason. There's either rocks or a hole or some kind of bullshit there you don't want to fuck with. So if you don't see people consistently going left or right on a certain wave, at a break, there's a reason for that. So don't do it. And also while you're watching the surf, watch where guys are paddling out and where they're coming in, especially if there's rocks. I can't stress that enough. Like you might get lucky and paddle out like during a lull or follow some dude out, but make sure like there was a place I surfed where it was real rocky and there was kind of like a little keyhole on the inside of the rights. And there was also like a sneaky one on the left that I saw a couple guys use on the second day I surfed it. But like, if you went out where I paddled out at the tide drop and you had to like paddle back around, further to get like to the second easier keyhole, if I hadn't like paid attention, I would have been screwed and I came in and I would have came in on so many dry rocks and gotten biffed. But, watch where the waves are, see where guys paddle out. If you're not sure, ask. Be like, hey, where's the best place to paddle out? If you see someone paddling out, even if they look like a dick, because that might be good too, because then you can get the vibe for how localized the place is and if you're going to have a problem in the water. Like if you ask a guy like, hey, where's the best place to paddle out here? Well, you're not from here? Fuck you, kook, or fuck off, you shouldn't be surfing here. Go, well, you shouldn't surf there because the guys that are dickheads before they even get in the water. But definitely do that. And then here is once you get out, stay out of the way, how to paddle out and where to sit, paddle out wide. Like if it's a point break, paddle on the far end of the point, like on the inside and paddle straight out and then cut over. Do not paddle directly where the waves are breaking, where guys are, where you're duck diving in the way of people. Stay out of the fucking way. You want to be invisible. Paddle out far to the side, be invisible, then slowly meander your way over. And I've talked about this before, especially like surfing places like the Lane. Do not paddle out straight to the fucking pack of dudes waiting for waves. Don't go like, oh, I'm in the rotation now, and like paddle out to the top of the pack or even at the bottom of the top of the pack. See where like the secondary waves are breaking, like if it's a point break, like where the smaller waves or the shittier waves are, and sit there. The place I surfed up last week, it was a point break, but it was not really a point. It wasn't really like a true point break. It was like a rocky kind of sand mix point break. But there were two or three takeoff spots. There was one like prime one in the middle where like the waves that were like a foot bigger, they came in like every 10 or 15 minutes and there was a pack of dudes on them. That was like the best spot. There was a secondary peak further down that was a little bit hollower, but it was like more towards rocks and it closed out, was more walled. And there were a couple guys that were like, knew obviously had surfed there a lot, knew what they were doing. That was like the second peak. But then there was a third peak that was kind of like inside that would catch all the way, not inside, but like over and in a little bit, that was like away from the pack. And the pack was over more like they were taking off on rights that you would be too far behind to catch. But then these little rights would come in that weren't necessarily as big or as good, but they were still super fun. Those are the kind of waves you want to get. You want to catch waves out of the way from everybody else. And that doesn't mean just sitting on the shoulder and mushing down the shoulder in every wave. Just find a place to sit. Like, watch the break and see where the break is and find a place to fucking sit where you're not going to be an impediment, not going to be in the way. I did that both days I surfed. I went and paddled and sat in the shittier places. And then just tried to, you know, surf for the first 20 minutes and get as many little waves with no one contesting them or in the way in any way or me in anyone's way, and just surf them to the best of my ability. That's the other thing too, is like your first, you know, one or two waves at a new spot are their audition. I've talked about this before. They're audition waves. You're auditioning for the crowd. You're auditioning for the locals. You're auditioning for the people out there. You try surf your best. Do not take away. If you fall, I mean, you fall, whatever, but like, try not to. Try to surf your first two waves the best you can. Even that just means riding them all the way across. Don't try and get too tricky or do like an air or a layback if you're not good at doing those things or a tricky thing. Just try and, you know, do a turn off the lip, floater, and ride it all the way across, all the way to the inside, and then paddle back out all the way around and let people know that you're a competent surfer that isn't going to be in the way and isn't going to be a kook. You know, even if you're a kook, surf it to your best of your kooky ability, but like a kook that knows, like, that is water safe and not going to be a pain in the goddamn ass. I can't stress that enough. It's just the best way. It's the best way to do it. Like, anywhere in the world I've ever surfed, even since I was younger, you know, and also if you surf a new spot, try and surf it by yourself. If you surf by yourself, you're way less likely to get heckled or harassed or fucked with. If you paddle out with two or three dudes or even another dude, good luck. Because if you even paddle out with one friend at a new break, it's always the friend that fucking snakes a guy in his first wave or bails his board in front of a local and then gets in a argument or gets yelled at. And then you get yelled at and then you both have to go in or, you know, fight guys with karate in a wetsuit, which is sad. So don't do that. Just yeah, like, watch the waves for 20 minutes before you paddle out. If it's a 1 foot complete beach break, like breaking on shore, garbage waves, of course. But if it's a decent surf spot that's either popular or that you've never surfed before, watch it. See where to paddle out, but also take note of where to paddle in. Like, look at like geographic locators. Like, oh, that flagpole or that car parking lot or that sign or that pile of rocks is like, paddle out straight in front of that, left of right, but make a mental, or houses on the beach, you know, or a thing on a satellite dish and hill. Make a mental note where to paddle out and then where to paddle in. Don't sit at the main peak. Sit off the peak, but don't be in the goddamn way. And then your first few waves are your audition waves. Surf the best you can, you know, and don't try and do that fake thing. I hate this. Don't paddle out and hoot for everybody on a wave. Like, yeah, ooh, get it, bro. Like, trying to make friends with everybody. If someone gets a really good barrel in front of you and you're paddling over it, paddling back out next to them, go, that was a good wave. Leave it at that. You don't have to, you know, give anybody a hand job or fucking lick their butthole because you want them to like you. And they're not going to. You just leave them alone. So there's that. That's how to surf new spots. And then surf tip number two. This is an important one. I don't think it's been covered by any other podcast or any other website or any other surf magazine. No, it probably has 100 times. But what to do if you accidentally snake someone, or even if you on purpose snake someone. Super important. Like, I don't feel like there's enough. This is talked about enough, especially in beginner classes, like etiquette. It's etiquette. They're like, oh, here's the thing. Don't drop in on people. Don't be in the way. But what do you do when you fuck up? Here's what you do. If you drop in on somebody, immediately kick the fuck out. Like, if you drop in and you feel like there's someone, always check behind you. Even if you look twice, look a third time. Because especially if you're a beginner or you're shitty or you're not very good or very competent, kick and like look and then kick out. Don't wait for the section. Don't be like, oh, they're too far behind me. Kick. If you're at a new spot or not a new spot and you're not that good or you're new, kick. If you drop in on someone, immediately kick out. Immediately. And if it was a blatant burn on a good wave and they go all the way to the inside, here's the second part of that equation. Like, let's say it's like a waist to shoulder high, even head high day. You drop in a guy. He calls you off. You kick out immediately like you should. And then he goes on down the line, does three turns or gets barreled, hits a lip, surfs all the way to the inside. You know what you do? Do you know what you do? Do you know what you do? Do you paddle right back all the way back out and sit at the peak and pretend nothing ever happened? And like, do that weird thing where you refuse to make eye contact with them and be a fucking idiot? No, you don't do that. Here's what you do. Paddle back out, straight back out, so you're out of the way of the breaking waves and out of the way of the fucking, you know, lineup of, you know, of where waves are coming across the breaking. Paddle straight out but not back to the peak, and then you wait for that fucking dude or lady. You wait for that person and wait for them to paddle back out on the channel. Like, if it's a right and they're paddling back out around, paddle over to, like, further out of the way, off the peak, all the way out. and then paddle up to them before they get out to the pack and the pack of people in the group. Paddle up, get to them one-on-one, and be like, "Oh, dude, I'm super fucking sorry about that. Sorry, I'm an idiot," or what. You don't have to be self-deprecating like I am, but it might help. Be like, "I'm an idiot. This is my first time surfing here. I'm obviously not trying to burn you. You fucking surf really well. I'm so sorry." Just be honest and just be nice and just say sorry. Just say sorry. Be open with the sorry. Explain yourself very briefly. Don't go on and make up some bullshit. Be like, "Oh, sorry, I'm a fucking kook. I'm so sorry about that. I'm such a fucking kook. I apologize. I'm sorry." Just say that and then let it be like that. And if they're cool, they'll be cool. If they're a dick, they'll be a dick. If they're a dick, be like, "No, I understand where you're coming from. That was fucking shitty. I apologize. It's all I can do. I feel bad. It won't happen again." And then that will diffuse. Especially the worse you are, the newer you are. Like if you're on a fucking wave storm or just a kook, and you kicked out immediately, that will diffuse the situation. I 99 out of 100 times anywhere in the world, I don't give a fuck if you're surfing what Belzeeland or Oxnard or Palos Verdes. Like no one, man, Palos Verdes, those guys are kind of douchebags. They wouldn't even surf there if I were you. But just that's the secret. It's just kick out immediately. Always fuck, look behind you. Don't drop in on people, you idiot. Even if they're further down the line, don't be a wave hog or wave greedy. Especially if you're at a place that you're not fucking from or you're new there. Learn who's who before you pull that bullshit, and then still don't pull that bullshit. But if you burn someone and they go all the way down the line, it was a good wave. Paddle over, paddle out so you're not like in the short getting pounded by sets. So paddle outside, but not back to the pack, and apologize to them one-on-one. Because if you fucking wait and you're stupid or you want to play cute and paddle out the group and try and hide in the group, they're going to paddle out there, and then they're going to have an audience that saw them get burned by you. And if they don't speak up about it, they're going to have the potential of, like, get made fun of by their friends or get dropped in by other dipshits that think that they don't care they get dropped in on. And they're going to make an example of you. They're going to yell at you. And they're going to splash water at you and call you fucking all these awful names. And if it's the 1980s, probably punch you, but most likely not punch you. But they might tell you to go in if it was really blatant and you were a dick about it. But if you paddle up to somebody before they get in front of everybody and apologize one-on-one, you're fucking golden. I know this because the second day where I surfed that sand point, the waves were good and I got more comfortable. I rode the fish all morning, and then like late morning I switched to my regular shortboard, and the waves were like, it's like 3 to 5 foot, and it was so fucking fun, and I had got comfortable enough with the crowd where like I was surfing more like on the main peak. But I fucking, these two idiots were on the shoulder, like kind of beginner, I don't know, like fucking, like Hayden shaped college fucking dipshit kooks. And I was paddling really hard because they're like, it felt like one of them was trying to like force me off the wave. I'm like, fuck this guy, I'm going to go. And I dropped in, and fucking lo and behold, a guy on like a longboard, not a longboard, like a fucking single fin, kind of long, like probably like a 6'8". I don't know if it was a fish or a single fin, but like kind of like a retro board. But he was clearly a guy that's from there, and he's like a big dude, like his mic size, but like meaty, like a not fat, but not skinny either, like a fucking meat, like a guy that looked like you rip a phone book in half, like that kind of guy. I fucking dropped in, and he called me off, and I didn't even see him, and I kicked him immediately out because I felt like a fucking dick. And luckily, the wave was, it was glassy that day. He, by the time he passed where I was, the wave shaped up. He did like a couple turns. I think he like pulled in to the closeout section or like got a barrel on the inside. But I made sure as shit, because also it's like a localized spot, and it was a little bit, not super crowded, but crowded enough. I fucking paddled out past where the waves were breaking, and I paddled over to the left side where like the channel was, because he had gone right and he's paddling back out. And I did the bonus thing you can do, because like the guy could see in the guy's face on the inside, he was pissed. I slid off my board. I paddled in the channel like where he was going to paddle out, and I slid off my board, and I kind of laid on my board sideways to let him know like I was not in any way trying to confront him or be a dick about it. And I was like, "Dude, I'm so fucking sorry. I apologize. That was super shitty." He's like, "Well, that was my fucking wave." I'm like, "Dude, I know. I was looking at you guys in the shoulder." And I'm like, "You know what? I'm giving you an excuse. I feel fucking bad. It never happened again. Fucking, I'm so sorry." And the guy was like, "All right, it was cool. We communicated." And I had no problems with that guy the rest of the day. Later on, like 10 minutes later, I paddled back to the peak, and the guy rolled up next to me. And I kind of felt like he was going to test me to see, like, he sat like deeper than me, and then he sat kind of in front of me. Like, he was going to see if a set came or if a wave came, and if he paddled for it. And every wave that came, I didn't paddle for any of them when he was near me. And then one wave like was really good, and I was like, "Oh, I'm like, oh, you're stoked." And I paddled over. I wasn't hooting him up. I'm like, "Oh, you're stoked." Like, and he fucking took off in a set wave and ate shit. And I didn't look at him. I pretend like I didn't see it, and I sat out the back. And then like 15 minutes later, a set came, and I was further out, and he was on the shoulder more, like on the right. He was on the shoulder, but he could have burned me. And he's like, and he looked at me, and I was paddling for it, and I looked at him like go ahead. And he's like, "No," like nodded me, and he like kind of nodded me into it, paddled over. I'm like, "Dude, you're the nicest person ever." As I took off, and I got like one of the best waves that day, that a guy that I had snaked 40 minutes earlier gave to me, basically. And a guy that, again, looked like he could rip a fucking phone book in half. And it was great. So if I had kicked out, you know, and just paddled back out and been a dick about it, even if I had said sorry in the middle of the pack of the group, it wouldn't have worked. He'd have been like, yeah, you're fucking sorry, you fucking kook, you Souther, get the fuck out of here. You know what I mean? But the fact that I took the time and the effort to go get the guy, you know, one-on-one and wait and show that I wasn't trying to, like, be a wave hog or a dickhead, really helped me get up a ton of waves. And I got like one of the best waves, my set waves of my trip because of that tactic. And I don't feel like I was being like obsequious or a pussy or being a dickhead. I did feel bad. I burned the guy, and I fucking hate when I get burned. So yeah, just if you burn someone, kick the fuck out and then paddle the fuck over and say sorry. Open and close with I'm sorry, and that will not happen again, and don't fucking do it again to that person. And if you do, well, you're in for a fucking, you know, fucking, I don't know. Getting beat with a bicycle chain on the beat. No, probably not, but just don't be a dickhead. But I feel like beginners, like, they'll tell you what not to do, but then they don't tell you what to do when you do something wrong. Well, when you do drop it on someone like you're not supposed to do, fucking own it, apologize in a smart way that will keep you out in the lineup, and you'll eventually maybe become surf buddies with that person versus, you know, having a guy that hates you that's gonna fucking embarrass you in front of people and do shit. All right, and closing, I'm sorry, we gotta wrap up this episode because my wife just texted me. I gotta go home for dinner, and I feel like these things, 45 minutes to an hour is good. When they go like an hour, 5 hour, 10, I feel like, Jesus Christ, what am I, Joe Rogan, trying to do like a 90-hour podcast about kettlebells and brain fucking pills? Jesus. I don't know. $100 million, I don't know. Maybe. Speaking of $100 million, so I do check them, but I don't check them every day, but I check them like once every week or two. I check their, you know, iTunes reviews to make sure people are liking us and we're being found on iTunes. And you know, each week we trickle, you know, we get more listeners. Like the thing we, you know, we were getting, I can tell. Like I look at the SoundCloud or the website numbers, show me how many listeners we get. We are apparently getting new listeners. So thank you. But I went on the iTunes thing. And mostly you guys all make, everyone that's left comments and like reviews, it's usually like 4 or 5 stars saying they like it, or I'm an idiot, but a funny idiot, or I'm a kook, but a funny kook, or whatever. And I don't mind that. But I got 2 negative ones in the past week. On November 26th, which is like, isn't that like around Thanksgiving? Jesus Christ, what's this guy fucking going on iTunes on Thanksgiving? When is it, 26th? Yeah, on Thanksgiving Day. Who the fuck is leaving iTunes reviews on Thanksgiving Day, you fucking dickhead? No. Anyway, the guy's title is I Tried To, as in the number 2, and he gave it a 1 star. And he said, as a 65-year-old surfer since 14, I guess I'm too old for this guy's foul mouth. Not interested. Okay, I'll take that. At least, I mean, I don't know why I have to know his age and then, you know, how old he was when he first. He's old as fuck, I guess. I'll be old as fuck, you know, soon too. But I'll take that one. That's fair criticism. I don't know why he took the time. If he didn't like it, to go leave a negative review, he could just fuck it. Maybe he's warning other people. Maybe, you know, the Christian Surfers Alliance is looking, you know, is looking for a podcast to listen to, and but this is not their cup of tea. So I will. Fair enough. JIK short or whatever. Why am I reading the nickname? It's the weird nickname you make up for fucking on iTunes. He needs his real name. So that's a fair negative review. I'll take that one. But then I got another one like, hey, where are you? 5 stars. Need another podcast, please. What has been good on the weekends here in Washington? Maybe that's where you've been. Hope all is well. And he threw me a shaka. Fuck yeah, dude. Thank you so much. STB Hotch. I hate reading the iTunes name when it's a nickname because I'm not saying it right. I don't know. Steve, it's probably Steve. Steve, maybe it's Steve. But anyway, Steve, thank you for the positive review. And if you're listening right now and you love this show and haven't given a 5-star review and a nice message, maybe go on there right now. Do it on iTunes. Or don't. Live your life. But don't do it. This next guy did. He put his first and last name because he wants to be fucking seen and heard. I will not fucking mention it. Eat a bag of shit filled with nails. Or toenails. Don't, because nails is kind of, could kill you. Toenails is kind of gross. But they're like yellow, crusty toenails. They're not like pristine, like that good toenail you get when you cut off, you know. You know what I'm talking about, toenail people. Anyway, this guy, November 20th, says, if you hold an opinion that the host disagrees with, he blocks you on social media. Typical SJW snowflake mentality. Shame. Oh, God. Oh, God, please. Oh, fucking God. Just fucking shut up. Fucking idiot. What the fuck is wrong with people? I know who this guy is because I think several weeks ago he sent me an email or Instagram message. I think it was an email on the contact page on the surfingpodcast.com website. And he's like, you should fucking, you know, it's a typical thing. Like, I'll give you the boilerplate of what it was. I'm not going to fucking look it up. It's like, you should keep your fucking political opinions yourself. You don't know what the fuck you're talking about, bro. Fucking, but when I was going off and saying Trump was a piece of shit, like, yeah, you know, like the typical, like thick paragraph, just like, yeah, you fucking SJW, also a social justice warrior. I do not feel that I'm a social justice warrior. I just feel like I can tell when there's fucking shitty things. And I'm like, hey, that's shitty. And it's covered in shit. And it sucks. Like, fuck that thing. You know, it's not hard. But I'm not, like, out there chained to myself to a fucking, you know, a dam or a beaver or a tree or a spotted owl or trying to, you know, yelling at you for using the wrong pronouns. I don't give a be as shitty of a person as you want, you know. But my thing is, yeah, if you send me a shitty email or Instagram message, I think this guy might have emailed and Instagram. I don't remember. But I'll fucking, if you send me a shitty Instagram message or Twitter thing or whatever, I'll fucking block you because I don't want to fucking talk to you. It'd be the same thing if you fucking called me and I knew you. I would just block. I wouldn't talk to you anymore. Like, this isn't a fucking, I have a podcast, whether I have one listener or 10 million listeners. This is my thing that I fucking make, that I do for me, that I like, that I share with other people, but I'm sharing it with other people. And if you're going to be a fucking twat, or have a bunch of shitty beliefs that I don't fucking want to discuss. Or he was one of those guys like, I could argue this thing and you should be open. I think the email the guy sent was like, you should Google the name of this person because he's a bad blah, 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 blah. I'm not doing fucking, you know, OAN fucking news or Newsmax fucking Google research. And it, you know what? I remember it. I Googled the fucking thing he told me to Google and it came up on no reputable website. Every website that it was like, again, like Newsmax, like 4X's or one of those sites that we used to call fake news back when fake news was actually fake news like 5 years ago before it became retarded and convoluted by, you know, orange dipshit. Fake news was like when you clicked on a website and it was one of those articles that had like 25 pop-ups and a million ad banners and there's a paragraph and then an ad link and then a paragraph and then an ad link. That kind of, yeah, the thing that he asked me to look up, I fucking looked it up and it was only on these weird-ass fucking, you know, Newsmax rip-off websites and conspiracy things and all that, you know, .net bullshit. So I even did the due fucking diligence of giving this asshole the brain space of doing that, but fuck you. Like, that's why I blocked you, you fucking idiot. I looked up the thing you mentioned, saw that it was fucking dumb, realized you were too fucking dumb to know that it was dumb, and I'm not going to talk to a fucking idiot. It's called pigeon chess. It's like when you're talking to someone so dumb, like a pigeon, like trying to play chess against a pigeon. It's not that pigeons aren't good at chess. It's pigeons are so fucking dumb because they're a pigeon. They can't understand the concept of a game, a board game, let alone fucking chess. So you're the moron if you're fucking discussing that. So yeah, if you don't like my views or my language, just don't listen to the fucking show. Like, but don't try and email me like I'm going to fucking debate you. My job isn't to debate anybody about anything. This is my fucking show. I talk about what I want to fucking talk about. If you don't like it, eat a bag of dicks. Or don't even eat a bag of dicks. Eat a bag of delicious donuts or, you know, or healthy celery. Or eat something wonderful for you and just go away. Go somewhere else. But, like, it wasn't the fact that I disagreed with the fucking idiot. It was the fact that he sent me one of those blorped out, probably cut and paste paragraphs. He sends the host of every goddamn thing he doesn't like or every Twitter account is, like, trying to get engagement. And I wouldn't give him the time of day because my time is fucking valuable. Your time is valuable. Your personal time, your professional time, your time's valuable. You're only here when you live to be 150 years old. It's a short fucking time on this goddamn planet. And you don't owe anybody anything. So yeah, you dumb shit. Like, fuck you. I don't have to cater to fucking idiots. No one should have to. Like, you don't agree with what I say? Don't listen to my fucking show. But don't expect me, I'm going to get in a fucking debate on the internet. Fuck you, man. You're dumb. In real life, if we had a conversation, you would get mad and probably try and fight me because I would fucking destroy you. I would just, like, use logic and basic non-stupidity, and you'd be like, well, I'm going to fucking, just shut up. Just shut the fuck up. Everybody that's, like, sorry. It just makes me so mad that that's where we're at. Like, and it's not that I'm some super genius either. I probably got a 96 IQ at best. I'm a fucking idiot, you know, barely could probably walk and chew gum at the same time. But if you're like, if you sent me an email or said something, you had a show, a Twitter, or sent me an email that said Joe Biden is a fucking loser, or Democrats are idiots, or I fucking think that surfing or Dungeons and Dragons or video games are for morons, three things that I'm into, I would be like, okay, fair enough. Yeah, oh, that's cool. And if you were someone whose opinion I valued, I'd be like, oh, well, that's a bummer that the guy or girl person that likes the thing I like doesn't like the thing I like and thinks the thing I like is stupid. But I wouldn't send you a fucking email or Twitter or Instagram. You know what I'd do? I'd be a fucking grown-up and just move on with my fucking life. It's a problem with the goddamn internet. Everybody like has access to or thinks they have access to things like, well, I can send a tweet and let this celebrity or even like this no-name idiot that runs a fucking, you know, a pitiful like surfing podcast in a decrepit, you know, abandoned comedy theater. It's, you know, like, you're going to fucking debate me? No, dude, you're stupid. Go hang out with other fucking stupid people with your own stupid opinions, because you're not like, if you were like, if I had an opinion that was pretty dumb, like I was an anti-vaxxer or something, you had like medical evidence on like why, like from like the actual, you know, medical AMA or some shit like that association, like a reputable source, and we're like, no, you're wrong, you should actually rethink this. I would fucking take that information and I would definitely rethink my position. Whether I change my opinion or not, who knows, but I would. But if you're just some crackpot bullshit fucking, you know, like you know, Trump idiot, no. Like, I'm not out in the street trying to tell, like, the Trump idiots, like, hey, man, Joe Biden will at least take the virus seriously, and that's fuck better than anything dipshit's doing. I don't even say that. I just like told the guy glad he lost, fuck off, you know. I didn't even say fuck off because the guy was scary, too scary looking. So I was like, glad he lost because you're my way, and that was it. And then the guy called me a pedophile, and then I said, no, that's not a thing. Like, that's, you know, logically no. But yeah, no one with a brain wants to debate anybody like the idiot that gave the negative review, because it's not worth it. But anyway, and you're probably like, well, Dan, you're spending several minutes discussing this. Yes, but I'm going to spend the several minutes now. So if I get more emails like this, I'll be like, listen to episode, what is this, 29 or 30, whatever. Go back to, and I'll give them the timestamp, like, you know, 40, 56 minutes into episode 49. Listen to that part from 29, 30, what episode? Who fucking knows? Listen to the time, this time of the episode, and that's, I'm talking directly to you. If you don't agree with my political or personal or any of my opinions, great. I'm fucking stupid. You're smart. If you fucking have a bunch of like conspiracy theory stuff or Trump bullshit that you want to fucking argue with me about, fuck off. I don't even mean fuck off like I'm mad. Like, just go, literally just fuck off. Go stick your dick in a vending machine or a gas tank or somewhere else. Go fuck off. Go argue with someone who gives a fuck. Because I don't. I know I talk about like political shit way too much on this podcast, but it's because it is the world we're living in. It is directly affecting fucking surfing, like with the idiots that are protesting in front of my home break, to like the fact that we haven't been able to go outside for 8 or 9 fucking months, you know, to go to Target without a goddamn mask on because our goddamn current administration didn't take the fucking thing seriously and said it was going to go away multiple times. Ugh. Anyway. I know, a lot of shit, guys, but surf tips, we talked about surf trips. How to surf a new place, how great modern fish boards are, and how you should get one to help, you know, tighten up your style and get you from stopping to hop around. Taught you what to do if you snake somebody. I think for all the negativity and the you know, the meandering first 8 minutes and then the last 10 minutes of this, the middle part, I'm telling you, it's like one of them big ham bones I bring home from the supermarket from my fucking dog. And, you know, the outside's got a bunch of bullshit on it and it gets all over your house and fucks up the couch a little bit. And then your wife is pissed and you're like trying to put spray and wash or some shit or Resolve on the couch to get the grease stain off. But when the dog gets that outside bullshit off in the beginning and end of it and gets the middle, that sweet, sweet marrow, that bone marrow, the middle 37 minutes of this show is, oh, fucking, as far as surfing and or the surfing podcast is concerned and the topic of surfing, rock solid surfing shit, for middle 37 minutes. Anything on either side of the middle 37 minutes, probably questionable at best and or waste of your time and proves that I'm an idiot, moron, fucking, you know, dipshit. But that being said, it's a podcast, guys. It's not the Bible. It's not some great thing. It's just a thing that we do. You can listen to it while you're in traffic or, you know, I don't know, taking a shit or whatever. Don't listen while you're taking a shit. Reading Twitter is for when you're taking a shit. But, like, when you're doing laundry or folding laundry or when your kid's not around. I'm sorry you can't listen to your goddamn kid in the car because I'm saying the F word all the time. I'm not smart, guys. I'm not a smart person. I wasn't raised right or well. Anyway, if you have a question or comment that isn't stupid, or even if it is, send an email to info@thesurfingpodcast.com or send us an Instagram message, you know, at the Surfing Podcast on Instagram or on Facebook, and I'll read them. And if it's a good question, I will get to it. Next episode, we have a fan question about surfing in glasses and or aquatic water glasses and or contacts that I will conquer. So that's a little teaser for next episode. Get excited about that. If you haven't already, go on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, say how much you like the show. If you don't like it, then just, you know, take your phone and smash it with a hammer and throw it in the sea. Those are the only two options. It's just how it is. for the Surfing Podcast. I have been and will continue to be Dan Bylak. Please have a great week. Try and be a nice person. I know I complain and yell, but I do, outside of this hour that I put on the show, I do intent walk the earth with the intent of trying to become a better person and be a nicer person every day that I'm alive or around. It doesn't always work out, but I'm trying. I'm a heightened, dumber version of myself on this podcast, but I really do believe in that. So be nice to other people. Try and be the best person you can. Try and help others, and try and catch some waves. For the Surfing Podcast, thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next time.